They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Major catastrophes may make 2011 the most expensive year ever, at least for one insurance company.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. This morning, the centuries-old British insurance market, Lloyd's of London, is reporting a loss of more than $1 billion for the first 6 months of the year, and all due to a record number of claims from natural disasters. From London, here's reporter Christopher Wirth.
There's been no shortage of natural disasters this year. There's, of course, the devastating earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan back in March, but also some lesser-known but still catastrophic disasters, like earthquakes in New Zealand and floods in Australia. Thomas Hess of the insurer Swiss Re says the total cost to the insurance industry for the first half of 2011 comes to a whopping $70 billion.
With $70 billion, 2011 is already the year with the second-largest losses in history. So this year is quite a catastrophic year.
And that doesn't even include the costs of Tropical Storm Irene that battered the eastern coast of the United States last month. That, along with 3 more months of possible future disasters, could make 2011 the worst year for disaster insurance. At $120 billion, 2005 is the most expensive year on record due to hurricanes Katrina, Wilma, and Rita. Hess says disasters can have a negative impact on both local and global economies, but he says that's typically followed by short-term economic growth as communities rebuild. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are down by an average of about 0.5% now. Trading in Asia, though, is mostly higher today. Here at home, the Federal Reserve is expected to wrap up its 2-day session on monetary policy with a couple of ideas on the table today, like lowering interest rates and or another round of buying more treasuries. Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ lost more than 0.8%, but the Dow managed a small gain, up 7 points to close at 11,408.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Engineers say tar balls turning up on Alabama beaches after Tropical Storm Lee have the same chemical composition as samples taken shortly after the BP oil spill. That's from an Auburn University study out this week. Meanwhile, over in China, the government there has its eyes on another oil company, ConocoPhillips, after a couple of big oil spills off the northern Chinese coast. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Lan Guoping picked the wrong year to start farming scallops. After growing corn for most of his life, the old man's friends convinced him he should spend his savings on rafts, buoys, and nets. Now all of this sits in his backyard on top of thousands of pink scallop shells.
A few days after I noticed the oil in the water, nearly all of my scallops died. The rest of this year is hopeless.
Lan's one of many here along China's Bohai Sea who are suing ConocoPhillips for the oil spill. He estimates he's lost $50,000, his entire savings.
China welcomed these foreign companies to drill for oil as long as they don't harm the environment, but they took that for granted.
It took 2 months for ConocoPhillips to apologize for the spill and to establish a fund to help those damaged by it. And that's why the company's been on the front page of China's state-run newspapers for weeks. It's been accused of poor ethics, negligence, and cover-ups. But last year in this region, a Chinese company spilled around 100 times the amount of oil. The Chinese response? The government blocked its own media from covering that spill.
Foreign companies present the line of least resistance.
Tsinghua University business professor Patrick Shavonik says Chinese journalists commonly get in trouble for going after Chinese companies.
What is possible in China's domestic media has been expanding. Things that would simply never have been covered, now there are people who are willing to cover it. But I do think that covering foreign companies, it's easier because it just presents less conflicts.
This summer, several Chinese journalists defied government orders and criticized the government over a high-speed train crash that killed dozens of people. A few weeks later, though, CCTV, China's largest state-run television network, fired one of its top producers for coverage of the crash. The state press has avoided negative coverage of the train crash ever since. Reporting from Hubei, China, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Later today on Marketplace, Rob looks at computer giant Apple in the Chinese environmental spotlight. Well, another U.S. oil company is causing a big rift in the Middle East, this time in the waters between Turkey and Cyprus. Julia Simon reports from Cairo.
When it comes to players in the Eastern Mediterranean basin, there's Egypt, Israel, Lebanon, Turkey, Cyprus, and then there's Noble Energy of Houston, Texas.
Noble Energy is the lead company and has got the most exposure to the East Mediterranean so far.
That's Catherine Hunter of IHS Energy. She says the regional tensions started last year. That's when Noble made the world's largest deep-water natural gas discovery of the past decade in Israeli waters near Cyprus. Hunter says that immediately all the neighbors started contesting the waters.
Those finds have been made in a region with long-standing existing disputes over boundaries onshore, over political issues. So suddenly we find energy injected into that already complex mix.
Noble wouldn't comment for this story, but this week the company began its scheduled drilling south of Cyprus. Meanwhile, Turkey has threatened to send warships if Noble doesn't stop drilling. In Cairo, I'm Julia Simon for Marketplace.
And finally, the last round of a college golf tournament in Fort Worth, Texas, had to be called off yesterday after a tree limb fell near the 18th hole. Talk about a hazard. That limb held a huge beehive, and several people nearby were stung by the reported 70,000 bees. There were no serious injuries, thank goodness, but it did leave me wondering, who stuck around to count all the bees? I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A thumb on the highway is an icon that's all but gone away.
By the time I was 15, I think hitchhikers had pretty much disappeared.
I'm Bob Moon. On the next installment of Freakonomics, where'd all the hitchhikers go? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.